This is The Pillars of Bathurst with Dr. Robin McLaughlin and Brett Van Heekeren. The Pillars of Bathurst project is a cultural heritage memorial garden that commemorates past Bathurstians who've added something special to the story of Bathurst. These are their stories.
Welcome to another edition of The Pillars of Bathurst with Brett Van Heekeren and Dr. Robin McLaughlin. Hello, Robin. Who is our Bathurst Pillars person today?
Oh, hello, Brett. Our Bathurst Pillars person is Selina Anderson from Tambaroora, born in May 1878. Selina went on to become a political campaigner, especially on behalf of the needs of Australian women and children. Her political activism was at its height in the first decades of the 20th century and embraced a wide agenda ranging from the improvement of working conditions to targeted campaigns, for example, supporting the right of women to become medical doctors in New South Wales. The breadth of her many causes made it a challenge writing the epitaph for her pillar's plaque, so we settled on political activist. This ambiguous phrase covers just about everything she did, but it does not single out what was arguably her most important and lasting achievement. For that one achievement alone, Selina Anderson deserves not only a Bathurst Pillars plaque, but also a significant place in Australian political history. She should be better known.
And what would that be, Robin? What was that achievement?
Don't be in such a rush, Brett. I will tell you and our listeners in a moment. I would first like to look at Selina Anderson's childhood in Tambaroora. Anderson was not her birth surname. Anderson was the surname of her stepfather, whom her widowed mother, Sarah, married in 1880, when Selina was just a baby. Selina's famous fiery red hair, though, may have been a legacy from her Irish father, James Charters. We have little information about Selina's childhood in Tambaroora, but there are tantalizing glimpses that seemingly predict something of the character of the woman she would become. There's a curious entry about her in Tambaroora Public School's file held in the state records, written in 1892. Selina would have been about 14 when it was reported that she, and I quote here, sulked and refused to answer when in class, end quote. What had she done to warrant this entry? I don't know. Today we might say she had an attitude problem about school.
Sounds like she'd gone on strike to me, withdrawn her labour.
It does, doesn't it? Like I said, it's just a glimpse. But it just might suggest the strength of character of someone prepared to take a stand against something they considered an unacceptable situation. As an adult, Selina would be known for her independence of thought and spirit. Now, I have another story to tell of Selina's school days, one that reveals some more of her character. In 1893, while still a student, Selina Anderson wrote a prize-winning essay on the history of Tambaroora. A Bathurst newspaper published Selina's essay in December 1893, so I've been able to read it. And I have to say, it is an astonishingly good piece of local history, thoroughly researched and efficiently structured in its presentation of information, and clearly lucidly written. When you read it, you can imagine how she methodically went about Tambaroora interviewing people for their knowledge of the community. Keep in mind, this 15-year-old schoolgirl couldn't just jump on the internet for her research in the way of present-day students and local historians.
So do you think that the locals would have been saying, oh, look out, here comes that Anderson girl, notebook in hand, wanting to quiz me about the early days of Tambaroora?
Well, they may well have been saying something of the kind. But her persistence in interviewing townsfolk allowed her to collect the information she needed for her essay. Well, almost all the information she needed, for she reports at the end of her essay, and I quote here, I have spared neither time or trouble in endeavoring to get authentic facts, but at the same time must apologize for the absence of dates relative to certain important appointments with regard to commissioners and other officials, the records of which I applied for, but for some unknown cause or reason, was unable to procure. End quote. You can picture government clerks in Sydney dismissing out of hand schoolgirl Selina's letters, undoubtedly politely written in her very best handwriting. Even with this setback, one cannot but be impressed with the thoroughness of Selina's research, a skill she would take into adulthood when it came to finding the facts on social issues, be it working conditions in the cardboard box-making industry, the need for child endowment for large families, or, as in 1918, her arguments for compulsory voting. Understandable in the context of the times, her student essay was mainly about the activities of men. But one can also catch a glimpse of her view of women being the equal of men. She tells of the first bullock team to reach Tambora after the discovery of gold being driven by a woman who, quoting Selena, to judge by her style, was no amateur in the art of driving, for it is said her vocabulary in adjectives was inexhaustible, end quote. Selena has a lovely turn of phrase in her writing. She ends her essay with a note of appreciation for her education, to quote again, "The education I have received is due to our public school system, and for which I am very thankful," end quote. This is the same Selena who was on report the year before for being sulky and uncommunicative in class.
So would I be right in saying that you are rather impressed by Selena Anderson and her essay?
I am, Brett. I spent much of my life reading undergraduate essays at CSU, and I so wish I had had more students like Selena Anderson, but I didn't. I recommend Miss Anderson's essay to our listeners, which can be found on the Trove newspaper website.
Could you give some details on where to look on Trove?
No. Oh. Selena would be able to find it, and with a little effort, so can our listeners.
Okay, well, stop sulking and refusing to answer, Robin. Get on with telling us about the achievement that earned Selena Anderson her Pillars plaque.
In due course, Brett, don't rush me. To return to Selena's story, by 1903, we find her working in Sydney and involved in the local labour movement, mainly through the Pyrmont branch of the Women's Political Labour League. This is an exciting time for women in Australia's political history, as Federation in 1901 extended the vote to women, followed in 1902 with their right to stand for federal parliament. Selena Anderson was one of four women who nominated for the 1903 federal election. Three of them stood for the Senate, as did Selena Anderson initially, but she later decided to run for the House of Representatives in an Eastern Sydney seat. She was in her mid-20s. She stood as an independent Labour candidate, which reflects her tenuous relationship with the established Labour Party. Her particular focus on women's issues might in part account for her independent Labour stance. Here's a line from a 1903 newspaper interview where she outlined her principal position, namely, to quote, "having woman placed on an equality with man." That is, if she's able to do the same kind of work with the same ability, she should get the same pay. "That's what I think, and that you may call the chief plank of my platform," end quote. This was a radical platform for the times. However, the issue of gender parity is still being debated today, more than a century later. Selena Anderson did not win a House of Representatives seat in the 1903 election. The sitting member was returned, but Selena took 18% of the vote. It would not be for another 40 years, 1943, before the first women were elected to both houses of Parliament. Enid Lyons would be the first woman elected to the House of Representatives. However, to our Selena Anderson, the former Tambora schoolgirl, goes the honor of being the first woman in Australia to seek election to the House of Representatives. And this is just not a first for Australia. Selena Anderson was among the very first women to seek election to any democratically elected parliament anywhere in the world. She was well ahead of her times.
And this is why she deserves a Pillars plaque? Is this her outstanding achievement?
What? You want more? Well, I could go on and tell you more about her tireless campaigning for social justice causes, but I'm reluctant to do so. I think you will learn more and more fully appreciate the story of Selena Anderson if you do a little research on your own. I promise you'll be surprised at what you find about our Selena. Don't look alarmed, Brett. It's not all that difficult. You can ask Dr. Google for help. You can easily find her entry in the online Australian Dictionary of Biography.
Oh, I get it. You want us to be like Selina Anderson, the schoolgirl historian, and find out for yourself through our own research, right?
Exactly so. The internet will bring forth many mentions of Selina Anderson. I promise you will not be disappointed in what you find about her. However, I will fill you in with just a few highlights of her later political career. After the 1903 election, she became ever more active with labor and trade union bodies in Sydney. In 1906, she became the only woman on the New South Wales Labor Council's executive and one of a handful on the Australian Labor Party's state executive. But Selina failed to gain the party's support for her candidacy in later elections. She soon drew apart from the Labor Party, but her commitment to fighting for community needs did not diminish. After some years in New Zealand, we find Selina living in South Australia, where she stood, unsuccessfully, as an independent candidate in that state's parliamentary election in 1918. It will probably not surprise you if I tell you that she was one of the first two women to stand for election to the Parliament of South Australia. There's so much more that might be told of Selina Anderson's life. I'll finish, though, with her last attempt to win a parliamentary seat. It was in 1922, and it was for the electorate of Calair. That's right, our electorate. Living then in Wellington, Selina stood as a representative of the Country Party, the forerunner of the National Party. In that election, Selina became the first woman to stand for the Country Party in a federal election. She didn't win. In fact, she received only a tiny number of votes. Her commitment to social justice issues, though, had not diminished. Her concerns were much as they had been back in 1903. Selina Anderson was still way ahead of her times, then and perhaps even now. Selina looks to have largely retired from active politics after the 1922 election. Selina Anderson, Mrs. Selina Siggins from 1908, went on to be a racehorse owner and trainer on her property near Sydney's Canterbury Racecourse. Selina Anderson died in 1964 at Ashbury, aged 86. Bathurst remembers Selina Anderson, political activist, with a plaque on the Bathurst pillars.
You have been listening to one of the stories behind The Pillars of Bathurst, presented by Dr. Robin McLaughlin. This series was produced in the studios of 2MCE FM.